You're listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. We are currently in the fifth week of the series called Keep Following, based on the book of 2 Peter. Today's message is titled Following the Truth and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Keep following. That's what we've been studying here these last weeks as we've been going through the book of 2 Peter. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me in the reading of the Word of the Lord this morning. We're going to find ourselves both in the Old Testament and reading as well as in the New. We're going to start off with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. And it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Jesus said these words in John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. John 18:37 says, therefore Pilate said to him, so you're a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I'm a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your amazing Son, Jesus. Lord, we again, why do we come? We've left our homes to come to this house, the house of the Lord, this morning. We come to worship you, Lord. In spirit, we come to worship you. In truth, we come, Lord, to learn, recognizing that you are the great teacher, and we are your disciples, your students. Teach us about life, Jesus. Lord, teach us through your word this morning. We pray for the individual behind the pulpit this morning that you would help this person to speak clearly, God, and without error, and that this would be done never for the kingdom of man, but always for the kingdom of God. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all may be seated. As you do, yesterday, we had a lot going on yesterday. Great men's breakfast. Chuck Price's memorial service here was powerful. And then Jamie Crumlin, the Crumlin family, congratulations to them. Our sister Jamie's off on her honeymoon. It was a beautiful wedding yesterday. And she is a gorgeous bride. Welcome and congratulations again to moms. Happy Mother's Day once more, if I can't say it enough. My wife, Cinda, got her Mother's Day present last week. I wasn't here. I was attending church in South Carolina at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. My son Jeremiah just graduated from basic training, and so we haven't seen Jeremiah for 10 weeks, but we got to go last week and see him. It was so cool. They brought him into this gym with all of him, his unit, and he's a changed man. And I got to tell you, at some point, I was just excited to watch my wife. Just, it was so cool. We go into this gym, and there they all are, and they're about facing this and this, and he's sharp. And I'm just going, is that my son? And all of a sudden, and Cinda's just moving closer and closer, trying to get pictures and shots. And finally, the lieutenant colonel says, I'm the only person standing between you and your son. So would you please move slowly to go visit your soldier? Because apparently, the last time some mama yelled out, I'm coming for you, baby, and she... And she tripped and fell down the stairs trying to get to her kid that she hasn't seen in 10 weeks. So they're like, your soldier will be there for you. Move slowly. And it was a special, special week of being with our son. And you probably saw that one picture. He's going to be a chaplain's assistant. So he finished his basic training and he is now doing his AIT, which is called advanced individual training. He's being trained to be an assistant to a chaplain. And the best thing I could describe, there was this bronze statue that they have at this basic, it was at this museum of chaplains, the United States chaplains. And there was this bronze statue and it showed this chaplain on a battlefield praying over a soldier that was dying and giving last rites to this soldier. And out in front of this soldier or this chaplain was a soldier with his rifle and he had his hand touching the chaplain and his job is to protect the chaplain so the chaplain can do his job. And that's what my son's job is. And I said, Jeremiah, that is so symbolic of your job. You are to protect and assist the chaplain. And so we had a great week last week seeing our son. And actually, as a matter of fact, he called us this morning. He's up every morning at 4:30. You all been up this morning at 4:30? Doing push-ups, physical training, straightening your bed with, nurse's corners and 3 inches for, I mean, it's amazing, right? And he called and said, happy Mother's Day again today. It was pretty awesome. But you know, many are saying that the mother of the year has to be this lady. I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but many are saying the mother of the year this year is this lady. Her name is Tanya Graham. And she's a mom that lives in Baltimore. And it was so, as we were in South Carolina, we were watching the news, I'm sure as all of you were. And Tanya told her kid, her 16-year-old son, do not go out there today. I won't, Mama, I won't go. And all of a sudden she said, I think she was like at a doctor's appointment or something, and there he was. And she hunted him down and got him. And I mean, it's, you know, the cameras are like watching the riots. All of a sudden, watch this. And mom comes up and grabs her kid and she's throwing rocks at police officers and she screams at him, two wrongs don't make a right. Is mama right? Two wrongs don't make a right. And what are you doing with that hood on? You show yourself. And she ripped the hood off of him. And then she started correcting her child in the way he should go. And many are calling her mother of the year. And you know, the way those things could play out, she might have saved her kid's life. The way things can escalate. And where was the rest of the moms is what I say. And a part of me breaks my heart and says, where was dad? But God bless mom. You know, moms have a tough job in this world. We parents have been given a high calling in raising our children up. What is just and right and true. This is the job of a parent. And moms have a special place in that. You know, God gives us these kids and he expects us to raise children. What is right and true and just, right? Listen to this. God says these words. It's God. Now God speaks this through Moses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. It's one God. We're monotheistic, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Love from the heart, right? These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Whose job is that? Is that the school district's job? No. It's parents. That's parents. And you know, moms have a special role in doing that, right? God calls us to raise our kids up for righteousness and justice. And you know, parents, we're called to raise up our kids in truth. In truth. Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Well, what is the way a child should go? God will show you that way, right? God calls parents to raise up these kids to meet, to know, and to follow Jesus. And moms have a special calling. I want you to catch this morning. God calls us to raise our kids to know what is right and true about Him. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God of the Messiah, the God who became flesh and dwelt among us, the God who was born in Bethlehem, who was raised in Nazareth, who died on a cross, the Son, the triunity of the Godhead. God calls parents to raise up children to understand what is true about God. And if there's truth about God, this is where it gets sticky, because what is the opposite of truth? Error and lies. And you know, it's politically incorrect to tell somebody that they're wrong. But there is truth about God, and if there's truth about God, then what also is there about God? There's error about God. Are you with me? If there's truth about God, there's error about God. Jesus says that there's error about God. Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth. He told the Pontius Pilate, I come to testify to the truth. The truth about what? The truth about who God is. The truth about God. There's truth and there's error. Are y'all with me? Does this make sense? I lose you? Since Easter, we have been doing a series called Keep Following, as we have been studying the book of 2 Peter. And it was written to the followers of Jesus in the first century, right before the first imperial persecution of the believers of Christ under the Emperor Nero. Bad stuff, people, was about to happen to Christians. They were going to be fed to lions in the Colosseum. They were going to be lit on fire as human torches to light the city of Rome. They were going to be killed for their faith in Jesus, just as people are being killed for Jesus today. For Jesus. The reason why we are wearing these orange ribbons is to identify ourselves with our brothers and sisters all around the world who are being killed, slaughtered, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And we are a universal church. Jesus says that when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And when we see this, if you ever watched that video, friends, you could see as they were, he was praying to Jesus as he was dying. Heavy. Dying for the truth. We're wearing orange to show our support for our brothers and sisters around the world that are being persecuted and murdered because of their faith in Jesus. Peter was written to the people of, on the, Peter was written, 2 Peter was written to our brothers and sisters on the floor of the Colosseum as well as on the beaches of Libya. It's a heavy, intense book. 2 Peter is. And in the midst of it, Peter just keeps telling the church, keep following, even in hard times. And do you know why he tells us to keep following? Because it's true. Because Jesus is true. In 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter says that he will soon be killed for Jesus. And he tells his readers, I'm not dying for a fairy tale. He is a personal witness of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And he says, and I will not renounce him. And thus, I'm going to be dying soon. Listen to this. Peter writes this, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I still live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Translation, I'm going to die. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. What things? Things that Jesus is true. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, Peter says. In chapter 1, he says that we shouldn't believe just because he's a personal witness and soon to be martyr, but the proof of Jesus is in the Holy Scripture. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable. This was last week with Pastor Graham. And you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must remember that no prophecy of Scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy was never has its origins in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is God's information. And man wrote it. Jesus put it this way in John 5. He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And yet it's these that testify about me. And you're unwilling to come to me so you might have life. The proof is in the Word and in the blood of the martyrs. And in the testimony of the witnesses. If you want to take notes this morning, things to jot down from this message that you could discuss at lunch today or in your growth groups this week, I want you to take note of this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter encourages people to keep following Jesus because he is the truth. And Peter proves this in chapter 1, by his personal witness. He says, keep following because he's true. And let me show you how he's true. He proves this by his personal witness. And by his personal death, he seals his witness in his own blood. And he says in chapter 1, he proves this by the prophecy of Scripture. Follow truth. And after establishing the credibility of the Christian faith in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Peter warns believers to watch out for bad teaching of Jesus that twists the truth of the Master and what he did for us. Watch out for error about bad teaching about Jesus. Watch out for error of bad teaching of Jesus because it's dangerous. This is Peter's point. The people of Israel had a notable succession of true prophets in the Old Testament, but they were also at time plagued by false prophets or lying prophets giving misinformation about God. And Peter says that the followers of Jesus in the New Testament need to ready themselves because false teachers are going to come now as well. And he says that they will secretly introduce, or some translations say smuggle in, destructive teachings about who? Jesus. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who paid for them on the cross. Even denying the Master who paid for them, who redeemed them on the cross. Bringing swift destruction upon themselves. He says, many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Take notes. The focal point of false teachers will be Jesus. They'll twist Jesus. I found this. This is a great picture. I thought it was pretty cool. This is what false teachers do to the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. A false teacher will twist, will malign. Have you ever met people that do this to the teachings of Jesus? How many people have actually met someone that does this to the teachings of Jesus, right? You sit down and you have a conversation with a person. In the midst of this conversation, they begin twisting or maligning or the basic teachings, the essence of who Jesus is. They'll come knocking on your door with white suits and little black ties, or they'll come with pamphlets about last days stuff. And when you hang out with them long enough, run. Run. I've learned to be aware of this at all times, in every place, even in Christian universities. A few years ago, there was a young man named Billy that started coming to our church. And Billy was a kid that was raised in a Christian home, but he totally just had this rebellion season around his senior year of high school and into his first 3 years of college. But his senior year at Concordia University, somebody from Woodbridge started talking to him. He came to our church, and this guy came with questions. His questions wasn't what Christians believe, but how do you know if you what you believe is true? And he was sharp. And every Sunday, we would go out and eat afterwards, and he would throw it at me. And slowly but surely, by the grace of God, Billy began going, that's good, Pastor. Okay, I get it. And he began to have a conversion of his mind where this is true. And as his mind began converted as an adult, he had to ask the questions, Mom and Dad. You taught it to him, but he needed to just figure it out himself. And it's a privilege to be there when people are on this journey. And this was Billy. And so Billy, he became born again. He became on fire for Jesus. And you know what? It's funny. As Billy began to believe in his heart, his life began to change. You know why? Because belief affects behavior. Write that down. That's just basics, right? So it was so cool. And so, I mean, I had the privilege of being with that kid for about 8 months before he graduated his senior year of high school. And he was inviting me over to his college at Concordia, Christian University, just off the street here, right? And he goes, Pastor Frank, come on over. I want you to just come to my class. Or, you know, I'm sitting on class with him. He just thought I was great. Praise the Lord. One day I was at the cafeteria with him. And as we were sitting in the cafeteria, two transfer students from Germany came and sat down with us. They were both from Germany. And Billy was friends with these guys, and yet they were in a religious class together, and they found that in the discussions of the class that Billy was on one side and these guys were on the other side, and they found themselves in opposing positions as they were talking about Jesus in this religions class at Concordia University. And so as they sat down with us, I kid you not, I had my fork. I was just getting ready to stick it in my mouth, and Billy says, Pastor Frank, would you got to tell these guys your testimony. If you get me going, I can't eat. And I almost felt set up to be straight up with you, but Billy was convinced that this was a divine appointment, you know? So I just began telling these guys, hey, man, let me just share with you my story. I began telling about my upbringing and how I came to faith in the Lord later. And reading, you know, the Gospels one summer and the prophecy of Scripture and this and this and this. And I just began telling them my testimony. And at one point, The kid across the table, he says, this is the problem with you American Christians. You're too narrow-minded. He says, we in Europe used to think this way, but we're closer to the world. He says, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Jew, it's all the same. Pick any way you want, whatever works for you. I could not believe that this kid is going to this school. And I was actually stunned. So I regathered my thoughts and I said, do you call yourself a Christian? And these guys said, yes. I said, do you believe that Jesus arose from the dead? One said yes and the other said no. And then they both looked at each other, stunned at each other's answer. And then I told them, I said, do you think that you believe what the early Christians believed 2,000 years ago when they died on the floors of the Colosseum of Jesus? I go, do you align yourself with the church that are on the beaches of Libya? I didn't say it then, but that's really the point. And I asked him that. I said, you guys, you are radically confused. I told him, I said, if you were transported back to Jerusalem in the first century and you said that, the church would not embrace them as brothers, but they would start witnessing to them that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And I told them this story. And what I'm about to tell you, I pray that you put this in your tool chest and use it as best as you can. I asked these guys, I said, do you plan on getting married one day? And they both said yes. I said, do you plan on having children? And they both said yes. I said, imagine you are married and you have a little child. And as you have this little beautiful child that God has given you into the world, that all of a sudden you're with a doctor and the doctor pulls you in and sits you down and says, your child is a very special child. Within the blood of your child, there is a cure for polio. But the problem is, in order to extract this cure from your child, we will have to kill your child. Would you let them do it? I asked them. And then I told them, by the way, we already have a cure for polio, but this would be another cure. Would you let them do it? And guess what their answer was? No. I said, God wouldn't either. God wouldn't either. You think that Jesus died on the cross to provide another way? Remember when he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, take this cup from me. Is there any other way? And what did the Father tell him? Yeah, you know, there is another way. You could be a Buddhist or a Hindu. But why don't you go slaughter yourself on the cross and provide another way for humanity? Do you understand what I'm saying? God wouldn't either, and neither would you. Does this make sense? I told these two, you are radically confused. And you know what they told me? Well, this is what our pastor taught us in Germany. Bad teacher. Amen? Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Watch out for false teachers. They will secretly twist the teachings of Christ. They will secretly twist God. What Christ did on the cross, he's not the way, he's a way. There's many ways to get to God, and here's just one of them, and it's the one I've chosen. Yeah, Jesus, just go slaughter yourself on a cross to provide another way for sin. There's only one cure for sin, and it's in the blood of Jesus that we are given freedom from sin. Are you with me? This is called the truth. This is called the truth. That's called a twist. Watch out for twists. Watch out for twists. Second Peter chapter 1, Peter says, it's true, so keep following. As he ends and he leaves the first chapter, as he begins to take a step into the second chapter, after establishing, keep following him because he's true, keep following because he's real, as he takes his first step into the second chapter, he says, watch out for bad teaching. In the Old Testament, we had false prophets. In the New Testament, you're going to get bad teachers about Jesus, and they will twist Christ. So watch out for them. They're dangerous. How important is truth in your life? Have you really thought about this? How important is truth in your life? Vitally important? Kind of important? In your relationships with each other, How important is truth in your relation? Hey, husbands and wives in here. How important is truth? You being truthful to each other in your marriage. How many of you in here that are dating today? How important is it that you are truthful in your dating relationships? Is it kind of important, a little bit important, or really important? Where would you put that? Really important, right? How dangerous would it be if you had untruth in your relationship? This is so cool. Another story. I've been thinking all this week, just stopping for a moment in the midst of this series and saying truth. I get to live a cool life as a pastor. A few years ago, there was a buddy of mine. It was actually many years ago because our kids were in a carpool with his family, and we were carpooling with his family. One day, my friend Mike, we were in carpool with. He goes, Pastor Frank, would you be willing to do a wedding for my wife's sister? She's Catholic and she's been divorced and the Catholic Church won't marry her again. Would you marry them? And I said, you know, I'm not really into doing weddings, but I'm really into really cool marriages. I don't do any weddings unless I do premarital counseling. Did y'all know that? That's kind of the way it goes here. I've seen really cool weddings where parents spent $40,000 on the marriage and it ended in 14 months. It's like, what a waste, you know? Yeah, the wedding day's nice, but I really think a marriage is where it rocks. Do I hear an amen, right? And so I told this guy, I said, dude, I'm just not the wedding doer, but I don't do weddings unless I do premarital. And he says, well, they live up north. And I said, well, then I'm, you know, no good. And, you know, the next week, he says, I was talking to this lady, and she's willing to drive down with her husband, or to be, would you be willing to do 8 hours of premarital? I do 8 hours of premarital counseling. Would you sit down for 8 hours with them? And I said, you know, if they were willing to drive all the way down here, I'll be your Huckleberry. I'll do it. They drove down. We went through 8 hours of premarital. Her name was Anna. Never forget her. Her first husband, she says, was a good-looking, fun guy. He was wealthy. He was religious. They went to church every week. And one day she came home and two detectives were waiting for her at the door. She found out that her husband was employed by a drug cartel and he was a money launderer. And that he was under arrest. And by the way, the name that she thought his name wasn't his name. Talk about a bad day, right? They didn't have any kids. How do you think that affected her? Do you know she wouldn't date a man for 8 years? She went through radical therapy and counseling over trust issues. How did this lie affect her life is the question. She wouldn't date again for 8 years, and it's been 10 years later, and now she's willing to marry this guy. She said, one day I was living my life thinking this is what was true, and then one day I lost everything. I lost my husband, I lost my house, I lost my wealth, I lost my life. It was all built on a lie, is her words. It was all built on a lie. Mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually, friends, she was a wreck. Massive trust issues. Take notes. You ready? Note number 5. In order to have a healthy, successful relationship, it has to be built on truth. Truth. Doesn't it? Hey, friends, is it any different with God? Is it any different with God? Think about this. Think about this. Jesus was talking with this woman at the well. And as he was talking with her, he said these words. He said, a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, that's with your heart, and in truth, that's with your mind. for they are the kind of worshipers God the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. Did you catch that? These are the words of Jesus. He says, if you want to have a relationship, it has to be built on truth between one another and between you and God. And God the Father seeks for people that would worship him in spirit and truth, not in lies, but in truth. Truth about God and who he is. This is so and very important to God. And that's why he uses the word must. It's not a suggestion. You know, the Lord would kind of lean toward the idea that he wants people to worship him in truth. It's not like this is like he's something he's kind of hope. This is a must. Truth. Truth. It's unacceptable, friends, to the one true God for people to fly into the World Trade Centers in the name of God. To the one true God, that's unacceptable. Do you understand? That's error. That's error. There is truth about who God is, and there is error about who God is. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the prophets, the God of the Lord Jesus himself says, if you worship God, you have to worship him in truth. The truth about who he is. Well, how do you know what the truth about who he is? 2 Peter chapter 1. Bad understanding about God is damaging. And God won't stand for it, people. People who want to worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, not in error. It's bad for you. We can't have a good relationship with God in error, just as you can't have a good relationship with each other when truth does not exist. Does this make sense? It's important to teach our children. Hey, moms and dads, it's important to teach our kids what is right and what is wrong and what is true and what is untrue. Go parents. Go moms today, right? God bless you mothers this Mother's Day. We need you to teach your kids that the Christian faith is the way of truth. And it's not only truth in our minds, but it trickles down into how we live. We live truth. We walk in truth. The early Christians weren't even called Christians. They were called the way, when you read the book of Acts. They didn't know how to codify you people. They said, are you a part of the way? That was your early definition of who you are. Because Jesus said, I am the way. And his followers, those who believe that he is the way. And the word Christian came on later to symbolize who you are. You were first called people called the way. Friends, just like parents, we as a church are called to raise up people in truth. The truth about who God is. Truth about who the Son of God is. 2 Peter chapter 1, it's truth. In 2 Peter chapter 2, protect yourself from non-truth about God because it's dangerous. And you know what? Don't miss next week. So at IPD, they have detectives that actually have profiles of pedophiles. Next week, we're going to talk about what's the profile of a bad or a false teacher. And you know, when you read 2 Peter, look at the lifestyle of a false teacher. See if you can identify it this week as you read the second chapter again. Not as much as what they believe, but how they live. And we're going to talk about that next week. But here this week, I want you to think about this week how important truth is and how critical that is to your life, especially in your relationships. Huge. I want to pray, and as we pray, I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up, because I love the song they introduced today. It was, "Speak to us, Jesus," right? "Hear, O Lord." I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come before you on this Mother's Day, the day we celebrate our moms. I love Stephanie says, our mums. Go Canadian. Lord, we are thankful for those that you place in our lives that stir truth into who we are. We want to hear the voice of truth. We want to hear the voice that brings life, not death. We want to hear the voice that brings light, not darkness, that brings freedom and not bondage. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Let the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory.
Lord God Almighty, we come before you this Sunday morning and we ponder again the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ponder again the elements of his life. It's by his blood we are healed. Jesus, you're the one that died on that cross to pay for our sin before a holy God. You are the one that took our shame and our guilt upon yourself in order that we might become the righteousness of Christ. You're the one that cures sin. You're the one that cures sin and brings redemption to humanity. If there's anybody in here today that hasn't ever trusted Jesus and his blood upon your life for the healing of your sin, that would like to today, maybe the Lord God has spoken into your life, maybe the Spirit of the Lord has fallen hard upon you, and you're sitting here today going, I want Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius. I want Jesus and his remedy for my life. If that's you this day, between you and God, I want you to throw up your hand toward heaven. And as you raise your hand before God, you'll be healed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you here in this room have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with your life and you want to do that today, then you let him know and you pray this prayer with me. Father God, I praise you for your Son Jesus, for bringing him to earth, and for what he has done for me on that cross. This day I accept him as a personal Savior in my life. I ask you to wash me of my shame and my guilt, to cleanse me and make me white as snow. May you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And would you prepare a place for me when I breathe my last? Wrap me in the righteousness of Jesus. This I pray with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.